Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome, good morning, good morning. Oh my God, welcome to my millions of people listening to me. Actually, the most important person listening to me is self, right? Anyway, good morning or afternoon or when you may be listening to this, even if it's in the archives, welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck episode, Epiphany episode 53, you guys, 53. Just when people thought I couldn't do something, consistency is real. Anyway, again, welcome, welcome. I'll give a brief opening as to what this show is about and who I am and all that other good stuff. Really, Looking for My Give a Fuck came from what? A conversation I had with my mom and my brother one time. My brother sees my mother every Friday, and he still sees her. And one day they were just killing me on why I decided to be a conservative. I am now registered as a Republican. Right. And they were just in on it. I mean, they're the most intelligent people I love and I know. And anyway, there's nothing I can say. It's like these are geniuses coming at me. And so I started to slide under in my mind. I started looking under this nook that we have in the kitchen. And my brother said, what are you doing? And I said, you know, I'm looking for my give a fuck. And I had to find my give a fuck because I didn't give a fuck, nor did I have the means to debate back with my family who are walking geniuses. And so I slithered my little ass upstairs. And the next day, my brother, who is amazing, came and brought this book to me, and it's from the author of the book, you know, The Power of Now, Eckhart Tolle, and the book is A New Earth Awakening of Your Life's Purpose. I've been on the spiritual journey for hundreds of millions of years, and what that means, in my opinion, is awareness. But your awareness shifts as you get older, maybe, or as you become more aware. I guess I know that sounds really weird, but the awareness has just been growing. And then when my brother shared with me this book, and if you know anything about the New Earth Awakening of Your Life's Purpose, it what it does, we'll talk about what it does in a minute, but more importantly, it was looking at my brother, my older brother. You know, he's always my older bro. But to not know my brother was also on this journey way ahead of me, right? God forbid big bros know what's going on. But not only did he know what's going on, he was at a place where he could look and see where I'm at. And that's kind of beautiful. So anyway, read the book if you want or listen to the book. But more importantly, in summary, here's what it does. It gives you an opportunity to snap into something when you automatically have a trigger that might not be conducive to your well-being, let's put it that way. For instance, I was in traffic, and I'm pissed off that I'm in traffic, and I happen to be listening to this book on, you know, on tape, or not tape, whatever it's called, audio, and it really sat me down for a second, saying, who are you pissed off at about at this moment? It can't be truly about being in traffic, not in California, that's a regularity, but what's really going on? What's really happening to you? And what I was realizing it was I was thinking about what I just dealt with and then what I was going to deal with. You know, it was everything but what was in the present. And so what this book allows you to do is look at things that you have an automatic reaction to. And you don't go to your psychiatrist and say, oh, my God, what is wrong with me? No. You kind of sit with it for a minute. Say, where did this come from? Wow, came from grandma, came from mom. Okay, wait a minute. So it's default. Is it helping me? And all this happens instantaneously in a sense. You don't necessarily have to have answers for it. It just becomes awareness. So therefore, when you do go to a psychiatrist or a doctor, whoever you need to go to, he or she might be like, okay, what's going on? And then you have these incidents to help the psychiatrist, this friend, whoever, help you get through it. Now, what I've noticed a lot of times, and I've been to a psychiatrist for, you know, lots of years, I would expect them to give me the tools, and they would do the basic. But psychiatrists, psychologists, counselors, so on and so forth, they never really get to go into their bags of tricks because they're never given the tools to go into the bag of tricks. So this book allows you to go, shit, I got a whole bunch of fuck-ups here. What's going on? Do I want to change them? Are these conducive to the betterment of my life? Do I want to shift on them? Do I want to blame my parents? Or do I want to move forward? And that's what this book's about. So you begin to pile on these things. And what's really nice about it, especially in where I am in my spiritual, is that now when things are triggered, I do all the things I need to do. And if it gets to the point where my psychiatrist has to come in and do that, that's fine. I'm in control. Not necessarily in control. I'm in understanding. And moving into the topic of the day, I hope you guys can hear me. If there's anyone out there, I sent something to my friend Mary, who always listens to the show, to let me know if she's listening, but she is not responding. So if there's anyone else that I sent a text to, if you can let me know if you are listening, that's great. If not, then this will be a show no one's listening. This will be a show no one can hear. That's funny to me. Okay. So speaking about awareness. Hold on one second. Speaking about awareness, what does it look like? Is it important? Becoming aware of things is an advantage or is it a disadvantage? What is it about? I don't know what moon I'm in today. But I have levels of extreme greatness. And because I might go all over the place, I'll say the levels of trusting my soul to reach out this morning to someone who I haven't spoken with in a long time. In fact, we haven't really been hanging out for years, but to be able to say my pain, I'm hurting. And for that person to say, well, you know what? Let me get situated here because I need to hear you. I need to hear your pain or whatever is muffling inside of you. What respect and honor must I give that person? But more importantly, it wasn't necessarily about him. It was time for me to hear the truth. And because that conversation was one-on-one with no distractions, my hearing honored same, which meant it equaled what was happening inside me that had nothing to do with an individual, but everything to do with the situation or maybe the individual, but more importantly, power of someone listening, but more importantly, the strength of hearing. The strength to hear. The strength to hear things that you may have known or you may have assumed, but it was never thrown into a place of truth. Wow. This epiphany, remember epiphany episode, looking for my give a fuck? It came in a way which is so weird. You must always be aware, whatever that looks like to you. But it came in a wave of me feeling the imminent demise of another. And when I mean that, that's not just death. We all know about that, blah, blah, blah. The spiritual just, even when you're hollow, there is an opportunity to hear the echoes of soul, I believe. But even when that has to crush in, and I feel bad. I feel bad for the person that was going to be crushed upon. Not because there's any relationship or anything with me and that person as of today's date, but just because my spirit's like, oh my God, this is so bad. Why is this going to happen? And I was able to reach out to someone with that. And that person was like, yeah, well, that's going to happen. But moreover, I need you to strengthen your reality so that instead of mourning the happenings of this person, you will understand that's all that was left that could be done. I swear on, I wish I could give names and all that, but I can't. I can only give situations. Day, shifting just a little bit. I was listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire, the song Fantasy. Again, my energy's on some weird stuff, and you guys all heard that song. In the land, there's fantasy, living life. Okay, he's ever listening. He's like, stop. And I listened to it differently. In fact, as I was on the, I went to Google about fantasy or something like that, and it came out to, I guess it's Maurice White, whoever wrote the song, please forgive me, because that's not what I'm talking about, him per se, but I am definitely talking about the song and how I thought it was about reincarnation. That's why it was so scary to, you know, oh my God, I'm scared to listen to it. But more importantly, what I found, what I read was that he did an article, the writer, and said, no, I needed a place to go. I needed a fantasy because this world is untrue. In fact, I would like to read this out because I sent it to one of my great entertainer friends and he said, yep. One of my favorite. The bottom line was, he said, I wrote this song, and I wrote it because I needed to get away of this physical realm. I needed that fantasy. And the fantasy was it in self. And the fantasy was loving yourself. Fantasy wasn't really the fantasy. This is just so metaphorically, things with the song. It's hard to explain, you know, but it was about, truly about the fantasy is the physical realm, in my opinion. This is about, you know, the fantasy. It killed me for a minute because, oh gosh, I thought this is a great song that we all should be hearing. In fact, we all should live by it because this physical realm can crush you. But if you create this fantasy, which is not a fantasy, it's the reality of who you are inside. This goes hand in hand with this book I'm talking about, with my experiences, with the ability of calling someone and saying, hey, it's living the truth in the fantasy, right? Wouldn't we all be a little better? Maybe. I've been blessed. Oh, gosh. I've been blessed my whole life. You know how some people have to train to be good at something. I always got the default platform. Want to be a cheerleader, default platform, and then I was always great. Went into legal default platform, which means things just came easy to me. And when you have ability to see the truth about life through education, which I have a master's, I have a JD, doesn't matter. When you're in the boardroom of truth, we shall overcome means a whole different thing. It's a never happening. Well, you can't jump out of those boardrooms that are not really visited by too many to go, here's what's going on in the world. Because even when you're in the boardroom, you don't get the totality of what's happening behind the boardroom or the foundation for where the ugly presents. But all you get is this knowledge, and you want to run, and you want to talk, you want to say something. And you can't. But you don't know what's wrong with you, right? You're like, I'm smart, but I'm angry, or I don't know what to do with it, or I'm insecure. And people find you with the intent to pull from you, for they need to feed off you. I sit here today not because I haven't been a part of narcissism at its best, times 10. But I sit here today because even with narcissism times 10, plus the devil, plus the legal profession, plus life in general, I'm still standing. I still, and I don't know the Bible don't know me, I still woke up and said, I must send a call to someone who could reject me, but I need to get this out. And it was not of hate. And in fact, be honest, when the person was about to share with me stuff I didn't want to hear, I almost didn't want to hear it. And again, that person said, no. Listening and hearing are two very, very different things. But when a man or a person commands that, hey, I'm giving you all I have to be in your space, that's sacred. That's more than a dollar. It's more than 15 cents. It's more than anything. It's giving you the space. Do you know how important it is when someone who has no dog in the race, per se, says, wait a minute, anytime I allow anyone in my space, it is 100%. Hold on. Let me get this together. How many of us can do that? Every time I do my radio show, I'm doing two other things, trying to look up something. Not today. I'm looking right at this fucking screen. Because I understand space. And understand that the person that gives you that space must love themselves enough to realize what is good and what isn't good. You know what I mean? They know. They're like, you ain't getting no space today. Or you get some afternoon space. You get some party space. You don't get my space, which this person doesn't even have time for that. But more importantly, it's not the person. It's the me that went to, who trusted the fantasy, the reality, and said, you know, this whole happening is hurting my soul. And that was so cute. He said, yeah, I'm sure it is. But your soul, it's feeling sorry for the wrong person. Your soul needs grace as you have, because you're a good person, believed in, trusted about, felt that you were growing. Felt that you were something at some level, whatever relationship you have with different people. And for them to crush you on automatic, crush you. And for you not to have anything to say. For the person can't hear you. These are true. This is just not one person. It's a generalization of people who are narcissists and out to kill you for no reason. Well, I guess the show today is about me releasing all that. But sometimes we go to places because we have nowhere to go, because it's hard out here. It's hard being intelligent, beautiful, and black, and amazing. And the people that you should go to, you can't see it because you can't see outside of yourself. I could have made this call years ago, but I didn't. I made it this morning. But to learn that demise was going to truly present, it wasn't not mine. It's not mine. But to call and say, oh, this is really bad. This is going to happen. And for a person to say to me, wait. What about you, baby girl? Well, I haven't been around that person for years. I got my own this and that. What about you, baby girl? Maybe this is that part of when someone is trying to destroy you.
You have to let them destroy themselves. Piece of me was still thinking when I was told the truth that no, I must have been more. No. And how do you regain self? You start by making a call. And that person says, in that place that you've been looking for, I'm here. Are you ready? Or did you hide behind the narcissism to lower who you are or what you're worth? Because you were using that maybe to stifle your own growth. Whatever comes of my findings in this conversation is mine to now deal with. Do we hide behind people and things because we're afraid? Yeah. But I don't think any of us knowingly get into situations just to realize that we will ultimately be destroyed, be flushed. That could be work. Relationships, doesn't matter. No one thinks one day, oh, all of a sudden you wake up and that person's like, you're dead. Huh? But only time that happens is when the person's really dead. And even then, we constantly pray and ask them for forgiveness, right? You know, after the Passover per se. But there are many people in our lives that can destroy us. When all we're looking for is that fantasy and the reality. If I would have listened to Earth, Wind, and Fire song and understood that it wasn't about reincarnation 120,000 years ago, I would have protected myself understanding that this physical realm or some of the ugly in it can possibly stop you from going into your truth, your fantasy on this realm. It's not heavy. It's not heavy at all. Two things I learned this morning. You make a call or you send something, you ask upon. And that person that picks up that phone gives you the true space. And when that person gets an opportunity to respond, you must listen to his truth as to what he may conceive listening to you. It's hard to misconstrue what a person is feeling and thinking when you're truly listening. And you're not projecting your own emotions on what they're saying to you, right? Let's try that. How often do we fucking do that? I talk to my friend Mary every day, and I'll be like, what's up, Mary? I know, girl, blah, blah. I never give her an opportunity to really, I'm quick to tell her where she's sitting. I'm quick to tell her how she's sitting, right? I've never given her that space and place to hear her. But when someone gives you the gift of, and I honestly, when the person told me, you want to hear me, let me hear you, and I was like, this motherfucker is gonna piss me the fuck off. No. God, sometimes lessons are so fucking rude, let me tell you. But he also said, in so many words, not baby girl, but that's how I take it. It's like so many words. Hold up. I want to give you all of me, all of my moment. Listen, let me hear you. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. And also, it wasn't judgmental. It wasn't anything. It was truth. Truth is a bitch. Truth is a bitch. Now, what do I do? Well, if I'm looking for my give a fuck, then I'll do what's best for not only me, but for others, if I could just say it out there. It's like, once you are no longer being taken advantage of or bamboozled or whatever, you get tired like me. I just went, whew.
now what? Well, shit, I'm about to have me a drink for reals. And then I'm going to rebuild. But more importantly, this morning I woke up. I reached out. Someone said, let me sit. Give me an opportunity to hear you. Slow it down. And just when I was saying everything about everyone else, he said, and what about you? And when you hear the ugly, and you can hear the beauty because you're listening, you don't take away from that conversation what someone thought of you that was so ugly. Because you listen in totality, you also heard, or I heard, a person who thought much differently. But if he hadn't been in his totality of listening, he would not have realized that I needed both. Love, friendship, professionalship. We're all trying to figure it out, right? But if we can start with these basics, when someone reaches out to you, if you can't give them your all, you're like, hold on, do I need, is, you know, fill it out? Because we all deserve to be completely heard. Today changed my life because I took it back. Not that it was gone. It was just relied upon by what others thought. So you're saying, oh, 57, a little too late. Am I breathing? Nothing's too late. I have 2 minutes. Sorry, Mary, I can't get to you today because I'm just in my feelings. I always said in closing, I wanted to have a statue of myself in the park. You guys ever heard that, right? You know, Sioux City, Iowa, I wanted a statue. That was a big thing back then. Should have known the Midwest, right? But now I know kind of what that means. I always want to do what's right with the tools that I have. Yeah, I'm crazy as fuck, if you want to say that. I'm smart as fuck. And I love when I couldn't say that before because I love myself enough to reach out and seek understanding of why I was feeling the way that I'm feeling. I'm nothing without the understanding of a platform of communicating and understanding. Maybe we should do a course on that. Because you learn to live and die all in one conversation. Shoot. I have a minute left and don't know what more to say, but looking for my give a fuck is hearing and hearing and allowing yourself to be heard for the betterment of the person coming, reaching out to you, not just for you. Hell, I'll probably have to talk about this next week. But until then, find your power or find that platform and find that person that will give you the power by way of making you listen and hear and loving you. Until next week. I'm signing off, and I always say make good memories, and I'll say it again, make great memories. All right, you guys, have a great week.